I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he had said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, we come again with hope. With hope that you will respond. We pray now that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to each of us where we are. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The title of today's message is Faith Beyond Lockdown. Faith Beyond Lockdown. How many of you have ever been on lockdown? Some. Okay. How many have been in communities that have been on lockdown? On campuses where you can't go nowhere. Okay, lockdown, okay, lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. I'm reminded that when you are on lockdown, you're paralyzed. You can't go, you can't do. Many times when we are reflecting on where lockdowns have occurred, we're reminded of trauma, of violence, of danger. In our communities, I remember in Charlotte, not too long ago, it was as if they were on lockdown because of the response to the killings of African-American males, and there was a curfew, and some people in the city felt that they were on lockdown. Local schools are sometimes on lockdown whenever there's something happening around in the community. I'm reminded of Boston, a time when lockdown really pierced my soul. When that community was on lockdown and the news promoted it, the bombing suspects and how they were on a manhunt for who had gone forth doing that marathon. I'm reminded of what it means to be on lockdown at NCCU at times. But what has touched me the most is when I've been in prison ministry at Raleigh Correctional Center for Women with Kairos Ministry. And during this time, we go in as civilians, as people that are not a part of. But once we get in there, there are times when the guards will say, it's count. How many of you know about count if you've been working in the prison? You can't move. You can't talk. You have to stay where you are so that the guards can count the number of inmates and who are not inmates. During this time, there's always this fear that has creeped into my mind. Fear, what is going to happen? Are there going to be individuals that are not accounted for? One thing that has occurred over and over, whenever I've been on lockdown in communities or in places of work, is that fear creeps in. I become paralyzed. Fear short circuits our calling, people of God. When we look at this gospel reading, this gospel lesson of the disciples and what they experienced and what they did, it's easy to say that they went into a mindset of being on lockdown. You see, this first Sunday of Easter, after Easter, we read this beautiful, beautiful story about how faith beyond lockdown was real for the disciples. And we also find that Jesus responded to the fear that they showed. Today's message is really for all of us who, whether we want to admit it or not, we may not be in a physical lockdown, but we may be in a mental lockdown. We are still at a place in some parts of our mind based on a fear that we have. Oh, many of us know about fear. 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 We always whisper that word, and some of us never even say it, but we live in it. Some of us believe the fears that we have are greater than the faith that we're supposed to have. We may not admit that, but we show it in the way we live. These disciples showed it too. Today, this gospel lesson shows us that Jesus did respond. Just like Jesus responds to us. When we are in our mindsets of being on lockdown, Jesus comes to us in our locked hearts, our locked minds, our locked spirits. The places where we are truly in prison and we won't admit it. Not only does Jesus come to us, Jesus ushers us into faith. Just as he did these disciples. I'm reminded of this story and how fear is very known to us. Fear. But I ask the question, what were these disciples afraid of? Because if we go back to last Sunday, you know it was here, this beautiful cross with all the beautiful flowers and all the different, was it fun? Was it beautiful? It was Easter. But shortly after Easter, fear, 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 fear creeped into those. And then you wonder, well, what were they afraid of? Well, they were afraid that the person that had killed their king, their Messiah, was coming after them. They got locked into their fear, and they also became paralyzed. I'm looking at the meaning of their faith and the meaning of fear and trying to determine which one took priority. Based on their actions, I would say fear dominated. Sometimes, as I've said before, we believe the fears that occupy our minds. How many of you have ever been locked in fear? How many of you have ever been locked in fear? Fear of something, a fear of somebody. I think we all can admit at one time or another something has creeped into our hearts, our minds, our lives, that's allowed us to feel as if we're on lockdown. We are paralyzed. Oh, we know about this kind of fear. The fear that little children whose parents have been deported and they wonder if they too will have to leave this country. The fear for many of us that live in Durham with the highest crime rate. The fear that many women that have been abused also may fear that they will be abused again. That kind of fear that continues to affect African-American males whenever they drive in parts of the community where law enforcement stops them randomly. The kind of fear that we know over and over again that many of us are plagued with because of health, past relationships, grief, loss. That kind of fear that just creeps in over and over. Fear. Fear. And yes, we know this oh so well, because many times when we're in fear, we attach ourselves to somebody that can identify with that fear. And you have a fear party together. You may share with them what you're fearful of, then they will tell you, oh, I'm fearful too. I got the same fear. The fear that we share. And you know, this is not uncommon, because when we look at this text, verse 19 says, together these disciples went. So they were all in fear. They didn't leave one out. They all together ran and locked themselves. Not closed the door, but they locked the door. Like many of us. When we have that fear and it dominates that thought or that situation, we get locked in it. Am I talking to anybody in here that knows about being on lockdown because of fear? Yeah. Lockdown. These disciples together, they went and locked the door. And we know that they were in one part of this story, but then we have another one. Thomas. Thomas, he went his own way, but he shut the door. Because he too was in fear. I bring this story up to you because many of us need to look at the parts of our life that we have locked up. Those things that we have been carrying that have kept us in places where we will not surrender to the Lord. I'm reminded today that this story does relate to all of us. This story is for each of us today that are standing on this Sunday after Easter, that we are truly resurrected. Is he risen? Is he risen?
Yes.
Is he risen?
Yes.
Well, I don't believe it by what I can see going on around in our world, because some of us don't act like resurrected people. Some of us may not even speak. How many of you have flipped over and gone back to when Lent was here, when Sunday was over? Some of us went back. Some of us stood boldly and said, he is risen, I'm walking in it, I am resurrected, that is my past. Y'all sung that song like you really, really meant it. But some of us didn't. Some of us are still on lockdown. But I am reminding you today that if we are to be who we call ourselves to be, and if we truly believe that Jesus is the head of our life, then we will respond differently. This story that we read today is for all of us. It is to remind us to ask the question, are we showing the glimpse of the risen Christ in our life? Are we showing the glimpse, the reality, the real risen Christ in our life? In how we talk to people, how we respond on our jobs, how we respond to our spouses, how we respond to that enemy that's knocking at the door, that really believes that we are on lockdown. I am asking you today, have you gotten lost? Have you gotten lost in your fear? I believe that we are to be people that are not ashamed to speak and to tell about the beautiful part of this story, where Jesus is in the fear with them. Jesus responds to them. I'm reminded that there are two things that Jesus does in this story. Jesus responds both times to the disciples and to Thomas. He says the words. What are the words that he says? Look it up. What does he say? Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And for some of us, that means continue the fight. Peace be with you. It means have joy. Have hope. And for some of us, we don't believe that in our darkness, in our lockdown state, that Jesus is there. But Jesus is here and now. Jesus is risen. And we are to believe that in our darkest hour, Jesus is saying, peace be with you. Jesus is ushering us, pushing us, pressing us to go against the darkness that is trying to crush us. I'm reminded of several scripture references today when I think of this story and how darkness tries to invade every part of our life. That's John 8 verse 12. John 8 verse 12. Jesus said these words, brothers and sisters. Once again, he spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And for us, we need to hold on to that, because we walk in and out of darkness throughout our jobs, on our campuses, in our communities. But we are to believe this word today, that if we truly are the ones that are following Christ, Christ's followers, no matter what, we're walking in the light. But then we also just prayed the Psalm 118. I know that was a mix up, but y'all got his love does what? His love does what? His love does what? Even on lockdown. Even on lockdown. Some of us forget that. We think, oh, so we don't have that boo. Oh, so things are not going a certain way. But Jesus' love endures forever and ever and ever. And then some of us forget what you just read in the other passage. You forget in 1 Peter, the third chapter. You forget the first chapter, the third verse, where it says that we have a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by his mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's from the lockdown, y'all. See, some of us really, that we're behind those right there. We really are. We're behind that door. But most importantly, brothers and sisters, Jesus gave us something. Gave us the faith. A living faith, because Christ is risen. You see, you said, yes, he's risen. Yes, he's risen. Yes, he's risen. Yes, he's risen. But you stepped out and acted like Jesus was dead, because your situation was too big for you to handle, because you couldn't comprehend that the risen Christ was already before you. But we are to be and to receive what we received in Christ, that he's risen, and that's our faith. That's our faith, and to live it out. I'm saying that to us today because I believe, based on what I see and hear, that we're not living this out. Let me ask a question. If someone were to see you outside a city, would they know that you're living the life of a risen Christ? Would they be able to put your life the way they see it, as someone that's living because Christ is risen? It's just one Sunday after Easter, y'all. Or would they think that you're behind that door, locked on lockdown? Well, I ask that because we are community in here. And this begins with the fellowship of believers. This begins when we are to look into each other's lives and glimpse the presence of a risen Christ. I see Christ in her life. I'm glimpsing. There's a risen Christ in that situation over there. I can see over there that there may be something going on, but Christ is risen. Christ is. Or would it be, oh, they're on lockdown. They locked down in fear. Their situation is taking them out. Because, see, we can play church, but if we are really to be the people of Easter, resurrection, and all that, we're to live this out. We're to live it out. And when we look at this story, we find that Thomas said, I'm not going with them. In other words, it wasn't that he doubted that Christ had risen. He didn't want to hang with people that may not have been showing the faith that Christ had risen. Would some people wave at you and keep going? Or would they wave and say, can we hang out? Can we get together? I want to get to know you. There's something that I see that I want to tie myself with. Or would they wave and say, mm-hmm, see you. Our life is to be reflective of the risen Christ. I am glad that when I look at this story, Jesus appears both times and he says the same words to the first disciples, peace be with you. And he says the same thing to Thomas, peace be with you. Both were on lockdown. Both were in fear. We find that Thomas is like many of us. Thomas wanted proof. What was it that Thomas said in this word? I want to what? I want to see, and then I want to do what? Touch. Many of us are like that. We won't admit it, but we know other people have been healed. We know other people have received certain things, but we want to have the experience of our own before we truly say, I trust God. I believe in God. That's the problem, people. Because we are to believe. And this story is also about the fellowship of believers. Your faith impacts other people's faith. It really does. When those disciples ran over and locked themselves up, Thomas said, oh, they must not believe. I'm not going with them. He didn't say that, but that's what I'm thinking he probably said. Let them lock, because the door is locked. I'm going over here on my own. Again, are you showing the evidence in your life today that Christ is risen? Are you showing that you're on lockdown? Are you showing that you're waiting for your healing to come, your blessing, your deliverance before you step into speaking it into existence? Thomas highlights for us today not only that he saw it, but the divinity of our God. He says, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. How many of you truly believe that Jesus can handle your lockdown situation? How many of you truly believe that today? I ask that because really it is about fellowship today, as well as walking so others will know that you're believing that Christ is risen. Many of us live in a community with each other here at City World. We're to love. We're to share that love. We're to talk about who we are, who Christ is in us, and how we're to share this. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus together. The major point here is that during this season of Easter, it is about these disciples, as we just read, that learned to pull their faith together. Some of them had very little faith, and the other ones said, I'm going to walk over here. I'm going to close the door. I might not lock it. But each of us have our own experience of God. But I believe this story is also about us sharing that experience so others will know, well, she really believes that. Her life is reflecting that although that hasn't occurred, she's walking by faith that that's going to happen. Have you ever experienced somebody that's living a life that they have so much faith? You're like, wow, they really believe. I'm going to tell you a story. One Sunday afternoon, I was up here at this table, clearing it out after Holy Communion. One of the little disciples came to me, Micah, and he goes, what are you doing? He asked so many questions about the bread and the grape juice. How do you do this? What about Jesus? It really shocked me, but it also made me want to share with him the power of this table, the remembrance that we're supposed to have, to the extent that I even invited him to be a part of helping to set it up and clean it up every Sunday. And then Michael didn't just keep it to himself. You know who he went and told? John May. John May. And John said to me first thing this morning, Gloria, I'll see you at the table after church. Yes, John helps at the table now. I'm telling you, this is what it's supposed to be about. We're supposed to tell our experience of who God is and what God is doing Even with the little ones, they're listening. How many of y'all are telling the experience of God that you're having? Or are you keeping it to yourself? Come on now. We are to share of the goodness of God. We are to tell it. We are to inquire about the experiences of God. I remember my grandmother telling me how she knew God. I would sit at the tip waiting to hear more. And I wanted to know God that way. When you hear someone that truly believes and have had an experience, it's like you can taste it. You want it for yourself. And if that's the case, then why are we not telling it? Why are we not witnessing to others? That is Easter still, that we're resurrected people, that he is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Why are we not doing that? Why are we remaining to be on lockdown? You see, I want to be like that woman at the well. When she saw the man, did she just walk? No, she ran. She left bucket and all. She ran to do what? To tell the others in her town that I saw the man. I met the man. Many of us get the good news, get the healing, and we want to keep it to ourselves. How many of y'all really told somebody this week about the goodness of God in your life? You kept it to yourself. How many of you are going to tell somebody when you leave from here that might be on lockdown and you need to help them get up out of that? You have to. When we think of the beginning of the story and Mary Magdalene, what did she do? She ran. She didn't keep the story to herself. When the gardener called her by name, she responded. Many of us are not doing that. Many of us know that we are to be more than we are, but for some reason we're holding on. Today, I'm glad to know that the two things that Jesus did and said are for us today. See, in the story, there are two things that Jesus said. He said, "Peace be with you," and then he talked about forgiveness. He talked about forgiveness because he knew that his disciples had abandoned him. And he wanted them to remember to lead into a direction of to be a forgiving people. I'm glad to know that as we look at this important part of who we are as resurrected people, that we are to respond as Jesus explained to us, that we are to forgive. And we are to lead a life of forgiveness. See, some of us are on lockdown because we haven't forgiven ourselves. And we don't want to forgive others. But today, peace be with you is the saying that Jesus said three times in this story. Peace be with you. Then he breathed on them, the Holy Spirit. And that image is so important because it's power for us. We are people that have power today. We are people that are not to walk like this. In those situations where darkness is dominating, we're to walk with our head up. Bring it. Bring it. We are. Jesus breathed on them, the Holy Spirit. And when you look at what it means to be people that are not on lockdown, we first of all know that we're loved. We are loved. Jesus loves us. And we have been offered this Holy Spirit to give us the power to deal with the stuff that's there. Deal with the darkness. But most importantly, we are created in the image of God. Each of us, no matter where we are, what we've done. And last but not least, Jesus knows each of you. He knows where you are. You may think that you're locked down, no one knows about. On your job, in your relationship, dealing with your health. But Jesus knows you. And I'm honored in receiving this story and understanding that the fear that I may face and the fear that you may be facing today is not foreign to Jesus. Jesus has not left. Jesus is saying, you're not helpless. You're not lost. That there is hope. And he's saying, he sees you. He sees you even on lockdown. And the thing that I believe many of us suffer with is believing that we are alone. That's the biggest thing, that nobody's situation is like ours. But today, as I prepare to close, I want you to prepare your hearts for a song that has touched me. You see, it's been about 4 years ago when I, not 4 years exactly, but about 3 years ago when I was working in Cairo's ministry. And we went into the prison. We were about to have worship. And our worship leader said, "Now, we're going to sing this song. And this song is important for you to know that we are to not worry about those that don't have fathers, those that have issues with men, or whatever, but we're to sing this song as if we truly believe it." I'd never heard the song before. And really, I had not even done my own work in certain aspects of my life on what it means to not have a father. But the words to this song touched me. You see, I was raised without a father. And my reference to what a father was were the men that were strong in my life, the mentors that really showed me what it was to be in a profession. I was in law enforcement. And then I remember sharing with my own son to always honor your father, always love your father. And I said to him, "I want you to walk this out. But I also want you to remember, Winston, that your heavenly father is the one that you honor the most." And so I had no reference to a father here on earth because my mother was a single mother. But I tried to pass on what it was to honor a father, but to ultimately know that your heavenly father is there above all fathers. And so when I began to sing the words to this song, knowing that the author were two men that came together, one that was a new father and the other one was one that didn't have a good relationship with his father. They sung this song together because they believe in a heavenly father. And the words that really stuck to my heart is that the words to good, good father that stays with me is that you're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. And so wherever you are today, wherever you're on lockdown, when you see these words on the screen and when you sing them, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Come on, let's just stand. And I want you to prepare your hearts to believe that wherever you are, whatever lockdown mind or physical state you may be in, there's a good, good father, a good, good father that knows where you are, that loves you. Let us sing these words as if we mean them today. Thank you.